Blog Talk Radio.
We can't be defeated, let them know from the door. We won a lot of battles, but there's more in store. If you're gonna be a soldier, know what you're fighting for. We the battle axis, God's weapons of war. We can't be defeated, let them know from the door. We won a lot of battles, but there's more in store. If you're gonna be a soldier, know what you're fighting for. We the battle axis, God's weapons of war. Before you go to battle, you should know what you're up against. When God sends his army on a mission, it ain't no defense. Have the latest weapons up, go and learn Kung Fu, or you can read the Art of War written by Sun Tzu. You gon' need all of the above when we come through. When Yah sends the order out, where you gon' run to? Sword drawn off with your head like a guillotine. You read what we did to the Canaanites and Philistines, trembling in fear on their faces when we hit the scene, giving the command, so we wiping out everything. When Yah puts our enemies under our hand, just like back in the land, put them under the ban. Man, woman, a child, let none of them stand. To the last detail, we executing the plan. Whether Joshua and Jericho, David and Goliath, see it's already written in the end, we triumph. We can't be defeated, let them know from the door. We won a lot of battles, but there's more in store. If you're gonna be a soldier, know what you're fighting for. We the battle axis, God's weapons of war. We can't be defeated, let them know from the door. We won a lot of battles, but there's more in store. If you're gonna be a soldier, know what you're fighting for. We the battle axis, God's weapons of war. Don't get it twisted, I can't join your army, I'm a soldier for Yah, and I'm already enlisted, fully committed, put my life on the line. We recruiting more brothers, told our Yah, if you with it, when the children of Zion get to roaring like a lion. We'll clash with a titan, fallen angel or giant. We ain't frightened, so we fighting in the day into the night. When we see our enemies, then it's on sight. You can call on Jesus, he ain't coming to the rescue. He gon' be behind, so how he gon' help you? All I done left you, now you on your own, and you get the same portion of reward for the wrong. This is more than a song, it's already written, Jeremiah 51. If you thinking that I'm tripping, knowing how to kill your enemy is key for survival. You should have a bow and arrow, slingshot, or a rifle in Yah, I trust. And this is the truth here. If you a coward, then you have no use here. Set apart spirit got me feeling like Samson when the army go marching out. This is the answer. We can't be defeated, let them know from the door. We won a lot of battles, but there's more in store. If you're gonna be a soldier, know what you're fighting for. We the battle axis, Yah's weapons of war. We can't be defeated, let them know from the door. We won a lot of battles, but there's more in store. If you're gonna be a soldier, know what you're fighting for. We the battle axis, Yah's weapons of war.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom. The Shabbat door is open right now. All are welcome. All are welcome to come in and lay down your burdens for 24 hours. Shabbat Shalom. May we rest in the Shalom of Abba Yah. Hallelujah. I'm your brother Ariel here once again with another installment of Ibrit Culture by the way of Kol Elohim here coming out of Beth Yahweh here in Baltimore, Maryland, bringing one more installment of Et Kanik Nefesh, trained mind, a trained mind, and the importance of training our mind, the importance of training our mind. And talking to someone earlier, and they asked how you do something. And I said, you have to train. You have to train your mind. And it just took with me because that's what Abba has given me, something that we all must learn how to do is train our mind in almost every aspect of life. Every aspect of life, we as human beings have to untrain, retrain, then how Abba has put it, to tear down, to destroy, then to rebuild, right? And that's this mind. Mind must be tore down, and how we think and how we act, we got to tear it down. No different than if you went to boot camp and one of the things about they will say boot camp is they want to tear you down first, then they want to build you up. They get that concept from Abba when he said Jeremiah 1:10, to tear down, to destroy, and then to rebuild, then to rebuild. Some of us take lifetimes to do this, to tear down our thinking and to retrain our mind into the way that Abba want us to be trained. And that's another thing about the title, Et Kanik Nefesh. And on that Et, we know for those who do know, is two Hebrew letters, the first and the last Hebrew letters, right? The Aleph and the Tav. And you know, if you look at it from the pictogram, which we learned last week and several times, who those who know, we won't repeat it, that the Hebrew alphabet is also a pictograph. There's pictures that you can write for the Hebrew letters. Like in this language, we would say apple. Back in the day before they wrote the letter A, they might have had an apple there, understanding that should give off the A sound, right? But the difference in ours, it would have been an ox head, right? And an ox head would symbolize a strength, right? And then there would have been that tub, you know, which symbolized a sign, you know. And we come to understand when you put these two letters together, a strong sign. So there's something there. There's something that whenever you see these two Hebrew letters in front of anything in the Hebrew language, that you need to pay close attention to these, because there's something that's secret and there's something special that Abba want us to learn, not just from what we read, but there's something else in the message that he want us to learn. So, and what he want us to learn with this is his mind, his trained mind, not ours, but how Abba is using life to train us, you know? Excuse me for our family, I'm sorry to get off talking, feel like I've been putting out fires for at least the last 2 hours, maybe longer than that. Let me open up with a prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Once again, for opening up the Shabbat door for us. We thank you, Abba Yah, for giving us rest, Father. You for giving us an opportunity to make it to your Shabbat door, Father, because some haven't made it, Father. Some, their door closed before they was able to walk in it, Father. So we thank you for those who have made it, Father, and for those who are ailing in any type of way, Father, physical, mental, spiritual, emotionally, Father, that you touch them, Father, that you heal them, Father, that you lead them back to a completeness with you, Abba Yah. That's what we all desire, a completeness with you, Father, a completeness, so we can be whole once again, Abba Yah. Because we know humanity as a whole right now. We are not whole. We're not complete. But the relationship with you starts that journey on to Abba Yah. So I ask and pray for all those who are lacking in any type of way, that you fill those cracks, that you continue to bring them in a stronger, a better relationship with you, Father Yah. And I will speak Naomi's name to you, Abba Yah, that you continue to heal her, Father. Continue to bring her, Father. Continue to watch over her father, her mother, her siblings, Father, her Beth Yahweh family, Father, those who are continue in prayer for her, Father. But we know that all works to good for those who love you, Abiyah. And a fervent prayer unveileth much, Father God. So we bend the knees of our hearts, Father God, in unison and asking for our daughter, for your daughter, Naomi, Father, to be completely healed, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandment, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm praying and hoping that I'm sounding all right and everything is good, which is awesome. I didn't get a text that saying that I wasn't sounding all right, so I'm going to go with I'm sounding okay and clear. I didn't even check that. Toda, Aki. Toda. And it's funny how things happen before you even have to get into the lesson. The experience of life that Abiyah brings to you, right? Brings to you. Because tonight we'll be talking about the discretion of the daughters of Sarah. The discretion, Torah again, of the daughters of Sarah tonight. Matter of fact, we're going to have two parts to that tonight. But it's still in all under the banner of trained minds. And I've been bringing other things my way, so I'm going to get a chance to get these books, this other book, and we're going to go through that because as human beings, we can't even fathom how deceived we are. We just don't know. We don't know how much deception is in this world and how Halal, the opponent, had pulled the wool over our eyes. We don't know. And it's only until he starts showing his called out ones, right, his elect ones, and we, as the elect, that we surrender in areas of our lives to him so he can better show us through experiences the deception that we are under as mankind. Oh my goodness! If we really knew, the deception. We're not talking about starch believers, as well as the world system. Starch believers, the deception that we are under in our thinking, and that's where it is. It's in our thinking and how we process things, you know, because my brother Mariel, he can contest to this, that just before I got out of his van, I got a phone call of someone yelling and cussing and fucking, just going off about their own daughter, and then soon I get out, I have this other young lady, she's right there to tell me her side of the story, and at one point in the conversation that the young lady, she thought that I was always taken up for the other person, the older lady. And it wasn't until I was like, no, it's not about her. It's about you. It's about you. And this will hit home for a lot of us because and it was about the animosity and the resentment and the hurt and all this that the younger lady has for the older lady. She has all this for her. I don't care if they talk about the Baltimore Orioles playing the New York Yankees. They're going to argue and fuss about it. And it's only because the resentment, the anger, the hurt feeling that the younger lady has for the older lady, regardless of what it is. So the younger lady thought I always would take up for the older lady. No, and that wasn't the case. I told her, my bottom line is you. You, it's your mind. And I talked to you, because last week we had a conversation with another friend of ours, and this friend didn't understand why I told her not to give the older lady a letter that she wrote to her. Because of the younger lady in her mind, it doesn't matter. She's not going to change. Regardless if I give her a letter or not, she's not going to change. She's still going to be that way. And it wasn't until Yahweh was able to show her, if you even gave her the letter, you're still going to hold on to resentment. You're still going to hold on to animosity. You're still going to hold on to the hurt pain. So giving another person a letter will do somewhat good. Only good we can have if we free ourselves from these things. Because as I told the younger lady, because something she going to say, you're going to get triggered. And y'all back at it again. And she was like, you're right. Now, I don't want to be right. What I want is you to be released of those burdens in that prison that you're living in. And I want you to turn 30, 40, 50 years old, still having these triggers, because the person that hurt us the most is oftentimes the one that loves us the most, that one that we love the most, the person that we have resentment for, person that we adore the most. They all, oftentimes they are one in the same. And if people honest with themselves and release themselves, they'll be able to see that. Because and as I told this young lady, I said, I don't care. Whatever happens, you're a good person, but every now and then you will bite a person. Every now and then your mouth will come off on a person and you will be hard on that person. And you, all these other people love you because of this one person you have the animosity to. This one person that you love, have the resentment towards and the hurt feelings towards. Everybody gets that burden. Everybody. I don't care who it is in your life. Your relations, none of your relationships are going to be right until you confront that one. Until it, not in confronting in the sense of you got to talk. No, you got to own up. I love you. That's why I'm hurting. That's why I'm mad. That's why I'm upset, because you're not loving me the way I love you. Majority of our problem, we are not getting what we perceive, the love that we are getting given out. And that is it in the nutshell. And that's where all the bad behavior comes from. Because we perceive it, that we are not being loved. We're not being prioritized. We're not showing what we are putting out. So every now and then I got to bite them, old school, right? Somebody got to get this because of this one individual right here. And what I told her to do, I said, at the end of the day, if you want to give it a letter, get it a letter. End of the letter. Tell her you forgive her. And on top of that, tell yourself you forgive yourself. But that's the difference in between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. The carnal person won't understand these words. But the person with the mind of Yahweh, Yahushua, they will understand these words. They will understand them. As we finish our conversation, I said, see, the world twisted when they say love yourself. That gets twisted when love yourself, prioritize yourself, you know, because that means it comes to the point where bump them motor scooters, you know, and not in the word bump, but in the word, in the foolish word, right? In the foul language word, I'm going to love me and I'm going to live for me. That's where that goes. Cause that's when the adversary, he gets in, he whispering. Fuck that. Love you first. Adore you first. Care for you first. And bump the world. You see, people out here living. They live like that. Why? Because they're not understanding who Yahweh is. They don't have the relationship with the Most High first and foremost. They're not sitting under someone who has had the relationship with Abba and able to guide us through this wilderness that we call our mind, through this world where the world is in darkness, the people grow darkness. Sometimes we need to sit down and really meditate on that scripture and step back and look at the world. And first of all, as you're looking in the mirror, or as we are looking in the mirror, the world is in darkness. The people gross darkness. Because we truly are. We are truly are. And we believe that we are loving ourselves. We believe that we care for ourselves. We prioritize in ourselves. But we actually not. And there's a multitude of ways that we not. But the most important, we don't have forgiveness for other people, and we hold things against people. And we don't have forgiveness for ourselves. And until these be the forefront of your relationships, you're going to stay in them prisons. We are going to stay in them prisons. And I told this person when we was away a while ago, I said, you put your mouth on me, you bit me. I said, but after that night, for me, that was over. You know why? Because I love myself. I prioritize myself. Because I know and understand if I hold that in, that does something to me. That does something to my organs. That does something to my mind. That does something to my spirit. And another altercation with a younger lady just yesterday. Just yesterday, sent some information and it got me screwed and came back at me real harsh. And all I could hear her loud is saying, oh, my goodness, you're going to let her talk to you like that? Oh, you need to get into that right now. And I had a paragraph of paragraphs. Understand that to write back the text back. Oh, I was. And Hillel was bad. Get that. Don't let her escape with that. And as my brother talked about that small, still voice last week, tell her you're sorry if you have offended her. And Hillel on the other side, hell to the no. Please, who you are? You going to let her tell? No, please. The guns out. Father, guns out. You know why? You just slid yourself in the way. And that's what I say, because in my mind, the text I was writing, it was to everybody. She even put so much fire under me. Text out to all of them. Is and boy, he said everything that filled my pride, filled my foolish manhood at times. Offended her and sincerely asked for forgiveness. And I wrestled with that. But my brother could tell you that's what I wrote. I said, I sincerely apologize if I offended you. Forgive me. Then she sent back, thank you for the info. You're welcome. But as soon as I gave into that little small voice, I felt 100% better. I could have laid her out every which way. I wanted me to do it. my mind, and if you even read it, I could have been right. In carnality and not in the spirit of Yahweh. When we have these things that is triggers for us and we move within the carnal. Trust me, hello, comment. Me and my brother Mario, we sat at the table today and we tripped off from him because I had to let him read it. Because like, boy, did I say something wrong? No. And he like, you're right, Aki. I had to listen to that little small voice that say, you sorry, ask for forgiveness for offending her. Even though you're the father. And we sit and we laugh and we just tripped off it because Halala, put that in your mind and you done took a small thing and blew it up. But as I tell my kids, once I say it's over for me. I didn't turn animosity. And earlier, I had a conversation with my son because he called me and he wanted to know what was going on with some things and told him, I said, I remember, I gave him a story, which I love how I've been taught because that's how my teachers always taught. They teach with stories of their own lives. I gave him a story of a young boy about, I'm going to say, in the sixth grade, and his father laid him out bad. I remember. Went to the PTA meeting. I went up there, and the teacher said some things about Sean, and I'm in my mind, I'm coming down on him hard because in my mind, I'm wanting him to succeed. I'm wanting him to get it. Where we get that from, though, family? I mean, we talking. Where do we get that? I got to come down hard on you so you can get it. Because in my mind, I want you to see. I want you to do better. I want you to do good. I want you in life be better than me. Hard on him. And he, daddy, the teacher ain't right. She talking this and talking that, and that's not what happened. From that one hit about, I'll say about 11th grade, from 5th grade to 11th, 5th grade to 11th grade. No, it was like 6th grade to 11th grade. That he had animosity for me that, towards me for that. And I could tell, every time I went around him, he was standoffish because before he got out that van that night, he was crying the way I came down on him like a hammer. Sometimes we do things and then you wish you can go back. But I couldn't. I couldn't go back and change what I said to my son that night. All I could do every time I seen him and every time we was around him, I could tell anyone come around the house no more. I had to go get him. His mother had to make him come around because whatever daddy did that night, daddy hurt him bad. And he had that animosity for a long time. It ain't till today that we have a real good relationship and his heart is opened back up where he's able to love and embrace me as daddy and not just his father. And I told him, I said, but you know what? I didn't meet you with the same animosity that you met and we met. I just loved you. I knew I was wrong. I knew I couldn't go back and change none of that. All I could do is love you and show you that I made a mistake. I did apologize for it. I remember apologizing for it. But sometimes the mere words just don't work. Through the Yahweh has to get involved. And that's what happened. But that small, still voice, family, as the brother talked about, and Yahweh put me to the test no less than the whole week as I heard that lesson. And not just me, I'm quite sure a lot of us will. And then remember, Israel, that when we hear these lessons, Abba God won't put us to a test behind them. If you belong to him. Because just like we as parents We want the best for our children. He do too. He want the best. So he got to prove us through life over and over and over again. Hopefully, as I told the young lady earlier, that we're able to go and forgive and let go first ourselves for being put in the prison. Because don't nobody put us in prison but ourselves and how we think, how we react, how we respond to the situation. And that's only based on our life education. And we ain't talking about school. We're talking about life education. That's how we respond. And that's our environment that teaches us how to respond to these things. It ain't until Yahweh. And hey, you could be a staunch believer for 20, 30 years. Have not surrendered to Abba Yah in that area. You will not be built up in that area. We got to surrender. We got to train ourselves in these areas. They just don't come out and all right, bam, we got the Holy Spirit. And, well, you know what? Nothing bothers me. Nothing come in. That's a lie. And we as believers, we done been Christianized. But, again, we don't know the damage our psyche, what Hillel have done to our psyche. We don't know, especially us over here in this Western Hemisphere. We don't know the damage that's been done to our psyche. Why? Because we see the behavior every day. We saw mommy act this way. We saw daddy act this way. Our friends act this way. Our aunts, our uncles, our peers act this way. And it was normalized in their lives. World is in darkness and the people grow darkness. Just had to get that. I tell y'all, got to teach Abba Yah. I'm going to bring these life situations to you. And he needs you to learn. You're going to learn these life situations. You're going to learn it. You're going to learn it. Because he's going to bring them. The discretion of the daughters of Sarah. So by that title, you know where we're going at tonight. The discretion of the daughters of Sarah. And I want to read that definition before we go into that. And we're talking about the trained mind. But I just want to read that definition. All right, then I got to find it. Slow down. Bear with me, family. I'm going to go into the Oxford Dictionary and pay close attention to these definitions. Pay close attention. I'm going to read all of them. I believe it's three of them. But the first one is the most important. And this is out of the Oxford Dictionary. The quality of behaving or speaking in such a way to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. That right there has clogged family. Offense or revealing private information. The quality of behaving, speaking in such a way to avoid causing offense or revealing private. How many of us, when we upset, talk about y'all women, but I'm going to talk about y'all, especially y'all, when you get upset, feel something that was told to you, either in a vulnerable state for a man, or a man when he's not in his weak state, period, right? And when you get mad and that tongue come out and it slashes that person, that brother, that sister, even it doesn't matter at that time. Talking to the younger woman, all she could think about is, I don't care. Think I offended her. I could care less. I'm tired of her. She's tired of not being loved. She's tired of having an animosity, not being adored. She's tired of those things. But she don't know she's tired of those things because the opponent has her acting out as if she's speaking up for herself, but she's never getting to the root of the problem. So it happens over and over again every month or every 2 months. I have a conversation. And I'm quite sure y'all the same way. Those who the family look at or look towards for a word, and you got to put out fires. That's the spirit of Yahweh. You're gonna be that. I mean, your coworkers gonna come to you and talk to you about their problem. Why? Because they see the spirit on you, and you're able to give them the wisdom of Yahweh. You're able to give them that. But I love this part right here, definition of the discretion of the daughters of Yah, of Sarah. The quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. Going for the jugular when you get mad. And I done had someone tell me that before, a significant other. Tell me that. You hurt me, or I'm cutting, I'm coming out with the knife. You know, it's no different for men, too. No different. Although I was angry, but I wanted them to feel what I was feeling. And they ain't even had nothing to deal with it. But that is a quality. That is what we will call a part of the fruits of the Spirit. And some of us is not allowing the fruit of the Spirit of Yahweh to get in that area in our lives and clean up. Be fighting it. Doesn't matter how long you've been a believer. These are lifelong lessons that we must go through. It does not matter. And a lot of times, it ain't until we in the way of Yahweh that we start learning these things. We don't learn these things well into being a believer, because some of the do's and don'ts is easy for us. But to look in the mirror and truly clean up our acts, that's the hard part. That is the hard part. The freedom to decide what should be done in a particular situation. Use their discretion. Discretion is the better part of valor. Middle English in the sense of discernment. We talked about that last week. Spiritual discernment. How are we using in every situation? Spiritual discernment. We must spiritualize everything, although it's tangible. Spiritualize everything. I mean, in the sense of the Spirit of Yahweh must take control of the situation. Is it? No, it's not. Be honest. Sometimes allow the opponent slips in so quick, and we done ran off at our mouth. We done reacted a certain way, and then we catch it. And, hey, that's not going to happen. Every situation, yes, we're going to slip up. But as the brother brought out last week, Brother D.U.L., that is, how we catch things and we bring things under the subjection of Yahushua. That's what we do. We allow the Spirit to speak to us, to calm us down and say, that's not becoming of a believer. That's not what I should be doing, how I should be talking. That's not how I should react to the situation. Hey, And every situation is different. Sometimes we must bring down a hammer on some situations. You got to. And we're not sitting up here saying that you got to be soft in every situation. That you have to take the no in the sense of, okay, bang me in the face. No, we ain't talking about that. No, that's again, deception of the world. That's the part of the thinking of the world. Mm-hmm. No, that's not Spirit of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. No, we have to put all this together and understand what he means by that. Because again, Hallel has deceived the whole world. And we do not know how much deception that we live in each and every day. Especially if we one that love the television. Love the television and got to look at everything and every show and don't know how the predictive programming is already programming our minds to accept it when it happens. To accept it when it happens. We can go and look at the Simpsons and everybody know the Simpsons will predict something 6, 7, 8 years ago and it'll come out, it happened in real life. Why? But T.L. Mind caught it. Yeah, we saw it, something like that. Like, hey, but when it happened, be familiar to it. Because it's already in our mind. It's already there. But it's just familiar to us. And we don't understand how we got to get that and relate that to predictive programming. Own of our reflect. And when we think we can outsmart this dude, we crazy. Something wrong with our thinking. I'm watching this one. Matter of fact, my son gave it to me to look at. And if y'all want, y'all can look at it. It's called Deceiving the Devil. It's on YouTube. About 3 hours. And it's good. Some of it's good. But as a believer, we will see the deception. It is a lot of deception in it. But the points that he bring out is valid to how Satan has tricked some of the minds in some ways, right? And first of all, right off the bat, you're going out with the devil. Without Yahushua, you're already deceived. And in the sense of he somehow, some way got the devil to tell the truth about everything that he's doing to mankind. Somehow, some way that he got the devil on trial. And this is a book, but it's also an audio book. You can go online and look at it. When I say it's okay. Because there's a lot of stuff you can learn in there, how he has manipulated man's mind. But first and foremost, the devil is what? A liar and the author of it. Going in there with the mindset that you know he lying, and the devil like, don't make me say it. You forcing me to tell the truth. Look at it, because somebody told my son to look at it, and I got to go in there, and I got to straighten some things out for me. Hey, son, the devil a liar. And the script, Yahushua said, he's the father of it. He's not going to sit down and tell you the truth. Listen to 3 hours of it, man. It took on me because, again, some areas of it is truthful. Some areas of it that you can see where mankind has been deceived. But when you don't start off and you talk 3 hours and the devil don't tell you that nothing about not one prophet, he don't mention the word of Yahweh not one time as being his arch enemy. And when he tells you that him and God is equal, him and Yahweh is equal, and the first thought I had to give my son is he is a liar. Don't care how sincere he sounds, at the end of the day, Hallel is a liar. Honestly believe that he put out something good on the airwaves. But all it's doing is showing how Satan has had whoever, I forgot the name of the dude, whoever one that wrote the book, you were in deception too. And one of the things that he's, the author of the book, one of the biggest points is religion has people blinded. That's one of the things that Hillel was talking about in there, that how that religion, the church, is his biggest way to bind people, right? So I already knew where he was going at with that, right? You have to be a free thinker. You have to be one who thinks outside of the box. No, actuality, you still under Hillel's dominion. Period. You have not broken away because you call yourself a free thinkers are, this is the devil. Thinkers are his biggest threat. No, he's a liar. Period. There's no way we can outwit the devil. None. So if you want any spare time, you can go look at it. We're going to read a couple of scriptures tonight, time. We can go through some things. I'll go to my opening scripture that's in 1 Corinthians 2:9. We're going through 9 through 16. That's going to be our mantra for the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks after this. But as it is written, and an ear didn't hear, which didn't enter into the heart of man, Yah had prepared for those who love him. Physical eye. The natural ear. Mankind cannot hear. They cannot understand it. They do not see the way you see. Not comprehend the way you comprehend. Hearing the way you hear. They don't have the filters on their ears, the filters on their eyes. Although they're looking out of two pairs of eyes and have, a pair of eyes and a pair of ears. They're looking and hearing just like you and me. You ask them a question, they're going to say hi. Excuse me, you say something to me. So they heard you. I hear the Spirit of Yahweh and the direction that he takes them. That's why someone didn't understand that it wasn't about defending this person. It was actually about releasing and freeing this person by trying to get this person to forgive way before they even act, to forgive. Let's get to the root of these things. And that's what happened. We look at things through carnal eyes, even as believers. We get carnal because we fixated on one thing. And this fixation does not allow us to hear that small, still voice. Thing here, that this having the mind of Yahushua, I'm digging up that we got to do to get that mind. It's a lot of surrendering that we have to do to get the mind of Yahushua. It ain't just like you read it on the book, you read it off as we read it. It don't happen like that. It do not happen like that, man. But as the world gets smaller, in the sense tighter, and more calamities are coming to the forefront, are being shaken by the events that are happening all over the world, and more people fall away because in their mind they don't see the hand of Yah moving. So the scripture says there will be a great falling away as the world and as believers are falling away. His elect should be getting closer. How we get closer is to reveal more about ourselves, and we move away from those things. And it's a continued battle. It is a continued moving forward. training. That's what we're talking about, right? A trained mind. A trained mind. We have to train our thoughts. Period. And as we talked about, a warrior's mindset. When you finish the training, that's when you get the warrior's mindset. You get that. Because you know each and every time you walk out that house, each and every time you open up them eyes, you're in battle. The war is raging. And even in times when we go to sleep, the war rages. We have to even pray before we go to sleep, Abba Yah, give me rest in my slumber. Put your defenses around my mind unless you want me to learn something. You have a vision for me. You have a dream for me to share with my brothers and sisters or even with myself. That's when we get that warrior mindset. When we come to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, the spirits that's in high places. But all before that, we training. We training his mind to get there. But to us, Yah revealed them through the Spirit. Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of Yah. For who among men knows the things of man, except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the thing of Yah, except Yah's spirit. You can have all the schools you want. If Yah does not give you the spirit, you never know him. Ask that question. Who can know spirit? Yah. Yah, give him the spirit. No man, nobody can know, no female can know him. All these people popping up with their opinions, millions and millions of opinions about Yah. You got so many schools of thought about Yah. They look at those who are called the elect, male or female, as if you're arrogant. As if you're arrogant because you let be in. No, that's now. No, that's not Yahweh. That's not the spirit of Yahweh. Had a conversation with a homosexual this week, one of my coworkers, and as he was telling me he's saved and he know he's saved, I'm thinking, like, you are a practicing homosexual. And this man, like, 70-something years old, he walked as if he got no brakes on his behind. And that's serious, right? And I ain't lying. Alcohol, well, and Maya. He walked like he ain't got no brakes. Like, he do not want his buck teeth to loosen up. Because no brakes is there. But this man told me that he is saved. He know God speak to him. And I sat there and I was, wow, really? And all I could think of is millions of people like him who don't go to church, who are part of Sunday or Shabbat service. God knows my heart. And that's one of the things he said. That have that same mindset, that they know Yahweh, but they don't. They don't know Yahweh. They know the perception of what Hillel has given them. That's all they know. Because they never surrendered to his spirit, or he never talked to them. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from Yah, that we might know the things that were freely given to us by Yah. Oh, listen to that, though. But we receive not the spirit of the world, pause right there, because that means the world received the Spirit. It received something. Them the illusion, or have given us the illusion that we know God. Who are listening and will listen, you can contest to yourself, for your family members. You know God, and you will have great conversations about it. We know what you said. They don't have a clue what you do. You quoting scripture. So in the back of their mind, we serve the same God. This brother quote number Bible to me. This is the same number Bible to me. You truly find out you are against everything that they stand for. It's going to come alive to us, what Yahushua said about it. Know that the whole world will hate you because they hated me first. But right now, they don't know. They know that you don't eat pork. These holy days that you talk about every now and then, they know that you go in the woods every now and then and you stay 7 days out of there, which they believe you're crazy about. They don't know what you truly stand for. And they don't understand that you see what they're doing as evil. That we see what they're doing is evil. Woo! Wait till they find that out. Wait till the world find that out, what you truly believe. Well, Yahweh is pushing us to that point. He is preparing us. He's training us so when we get there, we won't be shocked. When the scripture says, in the whole world hated you. We won't buckle under that pressure. Man, I thought you was a good person. I thought you was good. You mean to tell me you think I'm evil? Think I live in evil? Because I'm a homosexual, because I'm keeping Christmas and all these things. You know what I do during Christmas time? Every Thanksgiving, I go down under the bridge and I feed 100 people. My church, we've been doing that for years. Every Thanksgiving, we go down there, we cook the biggest ham. They eat good on Thanksgiving. Glazed ham we take down there. The deception that Hallel has pulled over on these people. And even us, because we were there at one time, too. I think when B. Gaddy came through the hospital when I was working there the first go-around, we gave money to B. Gaddy. Hey, take these couple dollars. The B. Gaddy going to go out there. She going to feed these people. She going to give them Jesus. And who those who don't know, B. Gaddy or someone here in Baltimore that during Thanksgiving time will feed the homeless. And give them Jesus at the same time. And let them know that this Jesus did this for you. Right? At that moment, no different than the harlot in the book of Hosea when Abba Yah told him to go marry a harlot. And the harlot, his wife, was a harlot and she would run off with her lovers. Abba Yah told him to, matter of fact, you know them brothers is broke that she's sleeping with. Go to market for them and take some food up there. They don't even know they in there fornicating and having adulterous relationship, and you dropping food off to them. That's serious right there. That's the world. And loving Jesus Christ, Allah, Buddha, and all the rest of these, keeping oxygen in their lungs, waking them up every day. Right? That's the word. It's not just Israel is that harlot that's being adulterous, but it's more so Israel, because Israel is the one who said, I do. Yes, I will marry you. But the world see these other deities and believe these other deities is doing these things. No, it's Abiyah that's keeping the breath in their life. in their lungs when they pray. Him that's doing all that, even for them. Even for them. 12 again, family. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from Yah, that we might know the things that were freely given to by Yah. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Again, we must spiritualize everything. I just read that. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The man speaks carnal, speaking from another spirit. Who have the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, we must understand where they are speaking from. Say holy things and holy things. It says spiritual things. See, we have to come to understand that every time somebody speaks, that is spiritual. The spirit that's leading them. So just tangible things when we come to understand the world and the world that is around us is none. We, as believers, must elevate, train our minds to come to these understandings. We'll read it, we'll say it, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we still get triggered by flesh and blood. We understand the deception that Hillel has put on us. I think we do. I know I don't understand it 100%. I know I fall short of many a time when it comes to that. I know I do. Because I'm not comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. I'm not comprehending that I'm talking to someone with the spirit of the world. I automatically bring them to where I am at and not understanding that they're not. They are in a deception more than I am. Bring that person into my world where I'm speaking spiritual and I'm having the mind of Yahweh and they don't understand nothing I'm saying. Like I'm sounding deep into them, I sound like a fool. Spirit of the world. They don't have the spirit of Yahweh. You read the last clause one more time. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, whether the spirit is evil or good. There's only two things. Whether comparing evil spirit or good, either way. Now, the natural man doesn't receive the things of Yah. But they are foolish to him, and he can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. And what do you mean by they are spiritually understood? And he has no spirit. He have not the spirit, he or she, of Abba Yah. So they do not understand what we're talking about. What you're talking about. What she, he, whoever it is, are talking about. You're talking foolish to them. They don't understand it. They have no spiritual discernment. But he who is spiritual discerns all things. He himself is judged by no one. When we get there, when we get at verse 15, that's the warrior's mindset also. But we are being pulled in by these carnal mindsets of the world. because we're not seeing everything is spiritualized. Everything. If we believe what the word says. For who has known the mind of Yahweh that he should instruct him? Oh, you mean, excuse me, Yah. But we have Mashiach's mind. Listen to that, though. For who has known the mind of Yah that he should instruct him? But we have Mashiach's mind. So is he saying, is Brother Shaul saying that because we have the Messiah's mind, we can instruct Abba Yah? We can counsel with Abba Yah? We can be in conversation with Abba Yah? We can speak to him in the sense of understanding the respect that's due as Yahushua speaks to him? That's that warrior's mind. That Brother Shaul was talking about, that warrior's mind right here. That mind that had been trained and understand where he or she is at and continue training daily. Daily. All right, family. We're going to Bereshit 2. Starting at verse 7. And we're going to read all the way down. We're talking about the discretion of the daughters of Sarah. Sarah. And this is going to be a two-part because I have a lot to say. And there was no way that I can get into all that he wanted to say tonight. You know, so we thank Yahweh. We hope Yahweh will that I make it to next week and we'll be able to finish this. If not, I'll be out. Just grant me entrance in your kingdom. Yeah, that's all I want. If I did not make it to next week, my prayer to you is that you grant me into your kingdom. And any one of my brothers and sisters, that you grant them entrance in your kingdom. Yahweh formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And for those who didn't know what Bereshit was, that is Genesis. Genesis 2, starting at verse 7. Yahweh, Elohim, planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, Yahweh Elohim made and good for food, including the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it was parted and became the source of four rivers. The name of the first is Bashan. It flows through the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Bullion and onyx stone also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the same river that flows through the whole land of Cush, which is Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hadakel. This is the one which flows in front of Syria. The fourth river, Yahweh Elohim, took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, "You may freely eat tree of the garden, but you should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Yahweh Elohim said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper to him again. I'm a strong sign, sister. Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper, very comparable to him. That right there is a big contention to today's woman. And I'm going to ask my sister, what's the difference between a spiritual woman, a woman who gave herself to Yah, and a carnal woman? We just read some of the answers. But what's the difference in your own mind? Or is there a difference to a spiritual woman who is comparing spiritual things to spiritual things than to a woman with the spirit of this world? Because Allah was doing something with that spirit of this world and that woman. So there should be a difference between the woman who gave herself to Abba Yah to say she will be his daughter and his servant than the woman that have not, that have the spirit of the world. Can we see the difference? Ooh, and at the end of this, Abba Yah have a powerful question for the sister. A powerful question. And we will see the deception of her left. We will see that. I almost want to say it right now, but I can't because it's next week. But I got it. It's a powerful question that he has for the women. And he's just going to show some percentages. Powerful. Out of the ground, Yahweh formed every animal of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he will call them. Whatever the man, every living creature became its name. Yahweh gave Adam a great responsibility. Gave Adam, I'm going to name some animals. You know what? I'm going to allow this man to name them. You know what, God? Let's take the animals over there to Adam and let him name them. Let's see what he go call. Let's see what intelligence that he's working with that he call these animals. The man gave names to all livestock, to the birds of the sky, and to every animal of the field. But for man, there was not found a helper compatible to him. And we're following the story, right, family? We're there. Our imagination, the Ruach, our spirit was there. We saw Adam naming the animal, right? We saw it. We see the whole scene where Abba Yah is exerting the behavior of Adam and how all the animals had companions compatible to them. Now he see Adam ain't got nobody compared with him. He don't have no companion. Well, what am I doing? What am I thinking about? I been sent this man with male and female animals, and he named every last one of them. He don't have one compatible to him. Someone to help him. We know the story. Yahweh, Elohim, called the man to fall into a deep sleep. As the man slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Yahweh, Elohim, made a woman from the rib of he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called a woman of man. Therefore, a man will leave his father and his mother and will join with his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed." Sin has not yet came in. Sin have not yet came in. Yeah. But we ain't going to get into that this year. We're not going to get into what happened till next week and some other things. But we're going to focus on Yahweh Elohim made the woman from the man to be a companion and a helpmate to him, to help him to get across that threshing floor, which to his kingdom, to help one another. But something took place. And as we see today, we can compare her to Kawa. We're going to see that next week. We're going to see that. And that question. Ooh, I won't say that question because I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I got to keep moving. There you are now. He can't keep his mouth shut. No, I can't. Especially when I was young, getting into something like that. I just love to tell his words. So we're going to move on from there before I run my mouth and say it. 1 Samuel 25. Going to 1 Samuel 25, and we're going to read about this woman. 1 through 42, family. 1 Samuel chapter 25, we're going to read 1 through 42. And the character of this woman, too. Character. Samuel died, and all Israel gathered themselves together and mourned for him, and buried him at his house at Ramah. Then David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. There was a man in Maron whose possessions were in Kamah. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Kamah. Now the name of the man was Nabal. The name of his wife, Abigail. Which means, let's see what Abigail means. She's the woman we'll be talking about. You know what? I got to jump out of here, fam. Give me 1 second. Before I got to go there, you look it up yourself. I believe her father's Joy. I believe that's what her name is. Her father's Joy. This woman was intelligent and had a beautiful face, but the man was surely evil in his doing. The house of Caleb. And if you want to learn a little bit more about this man, look up his name and then look up Caleb. And then you'll get a better understanding of where this woman was dwelling at. Why the scriptures call her beautiful. Right? It ain't just talking about her face, but something else about her was beautiful. You want to get a little bit deeper into it? Look his name up and look Caleb's name up. And look where this woman was dwelling at. But she still behavior. And now I'm jumping ahead of myself. I just had to get that out there as we go through. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. David sent 10 young men, and David said, young men, go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. Tell him, long life to you, Shalom Aleichem, to your house, and peace be to all that you have. I have heard that you have sheared. Your shepherds have now been with us, and we didn't harm them, neither was there any missing from all that were. All the while they were in common. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let the young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a good day. Please give whatever comes to your hand, to your servant, and to your son, David. When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal all those words in the name of David and waited. And Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is David? Who is son There are many servants who break away from their masters these days. Shall I then take my bread, my water, and my meat that I have killed for my share and give it to men who I don't know where they come from? David's young men turned on their way and went back and came and told him all these words. David said to his men, every man put on his sword, every man put on his sword. He had to say it twice. The brother was heated. David also put on his sword. 400 men followed him, David, and 200 stayed by the baggage. David helped us. That. Listen with that spiritual mind, family. Remember? But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out the wilderness to greet our master, and he insulted them. Men were very good to us, and we were not harmed, and we didn't miss anything as long as we went with them. And we were a wall to us both by night and by day. We're the sheep. I hope and pray, I got to read it again for y'all, but I hope and pray y'all got an idea. Something came to your mind. Listen to what I'm going to read it again. I'm going to start from 15. But the men were very good to us. We were not harmed, and we didn't miss anything. Long as we went with them when we were in the field, they were a wall to us both by night, by day. All the while we were with them. These were shepherds. They were keeping the sheep. But David's men, they said, was a wall. What did image come to mind to y'all? If we wasn't harmed day or night, these men, they wall to us. Elisha told his prophet, told his servant, he asked Abiyah to open up thy eyes. See. Servant's eyes was opened and said, men was around about them sitting on horses with swords drawn. They was a wall around them. Yeah, gave us a physical, he manifested. The man said they was like a wall to us day and night. They wouldn't let nothing harm us. Its own question, it speaks for itself. Speaks for itself. I hope we get that picture. Because we always have that wall around us. Especially that wall. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. I hope and understand that people understand that. That story ain't in there. For just any old thing, and we know who David points to. We know he points to Yahushua HaMashiach. About David, shepherds, remember, they are protected. Day and night, it's a wall around them. I don't care if you his wife. I don't care if you his mother. I don't care if you his son, his daughter, or whoever you are. Your mouth when you're talking about. You better watch your mouth. There were a wall to us both. By night and by day, while with them keeping the sheep. Amen. Now therefore, know and consider what we'll do. Evil turn against our master, against all his house, for he is such a worthless fellow that one can't speak to him. And this is Abigail talking. This is Abigail. And then another thing that we as believers, we have to remove the thought that Hillel is bringing evil. No, he ain't got power like that. The most part, these things have really come on and has been coming upon this earth that the world sees as evil. That's Yahweh. That's Yahweh. That's not Hillel. Because look who Abigail is talking about, who was about to come bring damage or destruction to their household. Dawid. King Dawid is coming. 400 men. 200 stayed back with the bag. King Dawid, we know who he pointed. Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 containers of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 strings, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on donkeys. She said to her young men, "Go on before me. Behold, I am coming after you." She didn't tell her husband Nabal. As she rode on her donkey and came down by the covert of the mountain, that behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now, Dawid had said, saying, "I have kept all that his fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertaineth to him. He has returned me evil for good." Who do Dawid point to, family? Come to the questioning. Come. She will come back. All the good that he does to this world. And they repent and receive. Yah, do so of Dawid. And more also, I all that belong to him by the morning, let so much as one who on a wall. Listen to that. When Abigail saw Dawid, she hurried and got off her donkey and fell before Dawid on her face and bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet, said, read it like that, my Lord, because this is how she's looking at Dawid. On me, the blame. Please, let your servant speak. Hear the words of your servant. Please don't let my Lord pay attention to this worthless fellow, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name. His folly is with him. But I, your servant, my Lord's young men, whom you sent me. And listen to the beginning of. The discretion. How many sisters praying for their husband? Even when you see his folly, when you see that he's just being a butt, me praying for him earnestly, going and bowing before the king, earnestly praying for your husband. And because even did you know the butt, he's acting a fool. But interceding on his behalf, that's part of being a helpmate. Part of why Kawah was me, to be that one to have discernment, to go before the throne on behalf of her husband, her significant other. Well, any male at that moment, any male, to become a prayer warrior for him. And if you are, hallelujah. If you're not, train that mind, train that spirit to be that. Train yourself to remove yourself out of the way so you can be that prayer warrior for the men of Israel, not just for your husband. Can we talk on this? Because we need y'all. Us brothers, we need y'all. Y'all are needed on the battlefield, the spiritual battlefield. Y'all are needed. Well, I will need y'all. We ain't coming with fire and brimstone. Not tonight, because Abba Yah need y'all. We need y'all on that battlefield. We need y'all to even look past when we don't see the ditch in front of us. Need them praying, sisters. Need them sisters that can reach in the spirit and make changes. Even for the leadership, the prayers. Even when you believe in your own mind that the leadership is not doing right, something wrong. But they're not perfect. Not by far. Human beings, flesh and blood, filled with sin. We need my sisters. We need y'all on the battlefield, spiritual battlefield. For Abba Yah made Kawah to be that help me. Now therefore, my Lord, we live, so lived, since Yahweh withheld you from blood guiltness and from avenging yourself with your own hand. Now therefore, let your enemies, those who seek evil to my Lord, he as Nabal. Listen to this, Sister Prince. Now, this present which your servant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for Yahweh will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fights Yahweh's battle. Hallelujah. It just little droplets like that in the scriptures, right? Who is droplets that makes your heart joy? Let me see that again. Because my Lord fights Yahweh's battle. Evil will not be found all your days. Though men may rise up, pursue you, and seek your soul, yet soul of my Lord will be bound, the bound of life, with Yahweh, your mighty one. He will sling out the souls of your enemies as from the hollow sling. Excuse me. It will come to pass when Yahweh has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Yisra'el, that this shall be no grief to you, nor offense to your heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. When Yahweh has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. Amen. Amen. And that's for my brother Shabbat. That's for my brother, Shabbat. Shabbat, he listened to that small, still voice today, too. Hallel came at him, stared him up. The brother asked for prayer, and I'm sorry, Aki, I hope you don't mind. And he said, ooh, it triggered something in me, and he was about to go place where he shouldn't be. But he listened to that small, still voice. You know what he did? He said, pray for me, brother. pray for me. We got around them. We surrounded them. No, we wasn't next to them, but we sent prayers out in the airways. We sent scripture out to them, and we surrounded our brother. But then I'm going to read that one more time so he can hear it. This, that this shall be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. When Yahweh has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. Amen. David said to Abigail, blessed is Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, who sent you today to meet me. And that's that small, still voice right there. She represented that small, still voice. Sisters, it ain't always you got to get loud and go toe-to-toe and word for word with your husband. Be that small, still voice for Abiyah. Move the pride, holy woman. The pride of this worldly woman. And if the shoe fit, wear it. If it don't, hallelujah. Be that small, still voice for your husband. You do not have to meet him with the same behavior she won him over. And it goes the same for him too. Trust and believe. When he comes out like that and you respond with that small, still voice, Yahweh gonna deal with that man. It may not be in the sense or the way that we want it to be, but yes, he's going to deal with that man. And it may not even be today, tomorrow, next year, but he's gonna deal with him. And he's gonna bring that situation back to his mind. Trust me. Be that small, still voice. She was Abigail with that small, still voice for Abigail. Blessed is you. Let me go back up to 32. Days. Dawid said to Abigail, blessed is Yahweh, the mighty one. And again, we got to get there. We got to feel the spirit at this time of Dawid. And he's amazed. He's in amazement. He's in awe. This woman. And with this small, still voice. He, right now, you ever had somebody to minister to you with Abiyah and how you fill up with this joy and some of these things we really can't explain? That's what Dawid is feeling right now. But he's going to speak it. This woman touched him in such a way because she didn't come and meet him. It's way boisterous. She met him with the spirit of Yahweh, that small, still voice. So she touched him. She removed what was on Dawid. Discretion, and blessed are you who have kept me today from blood guilty and from avenging myself with my own hand. He's in gratitude for the sister. For indeed, as Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, lives, who has withheld me from harming you, I was going to kill you too. Everything in there. Have hurried and come to meet me. Surely there wouldn't have been left Nabal by the morning light, such much as one who urinates on him. I'm going to kill everybody in there. My men was coming, and we were coming to destroy things. Only at that time. But because of you, sister, know that you quiet the beast. Beat fire with fire. That small, still voice. Move the anger and whatever was on me. Moved it. We between you and the worldly woman? What's the difference between you and the worldly woman? I'm going to read 34 one more time. For indeed, as Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, lives, who has withheld me from harming you, unless you have hurried and came to me, surely there wouldn't have been left to Nabal by the morning light such as one who urinates on a worm. So David received from her hand, that which she had brought him. Then he said to her, go up in peace to your house. Behold, I have listened for you and have granted your request. Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. Nabal's heart was very merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore, she told him nothing until the morning light. And again, she used discretion again when to talk to him. This man is drunk. Right now, there's no way I can get to him. This man right now, he's seeing red. There's some point that men get to that there's no talking down. So that woman must use discretion when to talk to him and humbleness of heart. But some women feel as though, I got to say what I got to say. He going to listen to what I got to say. I don't care what state he in. And sometimes that cost that woman her life. Cost her her life. Because she didn't know when to speak. And that man was in such a rage that he killed her. Because she met fire with fire. And did not have the spirit of Yahweh to speak life into a situation. In the morning, when wine had gone out of the bar, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And but she told him, well, you were about to have everything in this valley killed. He said, Dawid was coming. And he was coming to kill you and everything in here, food and meat. Moved upon me and gave me wisdom enough to the heart, mind of Dawid, and he hearkened unto the voice of Yahweh through me. The boy was so petrified he came like stone because they might know who Dawid is. 10 days later, Yahweh struck Nabal so that he died again. Again, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. When Dawid heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed is Yahweh who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from evil. Yahweh has returned the evil doings of Nabal on his own head. David sent and spoke concerning Abigail as a wife. When David's servant Abigail to Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, David has sent us to you to take you to him as a wife. She arose and bowed herself face to the earth and said, behold, the servant is a servant to wash the feet of the servant of my Lord. Amen. Abigail hurried and arose and rode on a donkey with 5 ladies of hers who followed her, and she went after the messenger of Dawid and became his wife. Listen, that's how you become the wife of Yahushua. Yes, I know there's a multitude of things that we can do, but Yahweh especially, daughter, how can we respond in these situations? Again, What is the difference between the spirit that's on you and the spirit on the worldly woman? Can the world see a difference? Or do they see just another religion? Just another religion. Yeah. I do have a couple more scriptures, but I ain't going to make that. I have one more, and this was in Exodus 4, 18 through 27. And this is when, I'm going to read it. I got time. We got to go to Shemot, Exodus 4, 18 through 27. I'm going to try to just read it, family. Y'all get the thought. Moses went and returned to Jericho, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go up and return to my brothers who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive." Said to Moses, "Go in peace." You know what? As this is going to be a part two, anyway, I'm not going to read it because there's some thoughts that Abraham gave me earlier when I was going into this that he wanted to bring out. And again, this for yourself, we have read this a many of times. If you haven't, this is when Yahweh first called him. But there's some thoughts that Yahweh want us to get out of this right here. So I'm going to save that for next week right here. Let me put something by that in the book. So next week I know to bring that back out. So we will read this last to right here about another sister. And this sister is in the same book, Shemot, but we're going down to chapter 15. Starting at verse 18 again, 18 to 21. That's chapter 15, verse 18 to 21. Yahweh shall reign forever and ever, for the horse of Pharaoh went chariot and with his horsemen into the sea. And Yahweh brought back the waters of the sea on them. But the children of Israel walked on dry land in the middle of the sea. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aharon, took a tambourine in her hand, and all women went out after her with tambourines and with dances. Miriam answered them, "Sing to Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he have thrown into the sea." We all know that song right there. But this is Sister Miriam praising Abiyah for the deeds that he has done for Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me close out until next week, family. Read the benediction, and then I can say the closing prayer. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to the home. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. 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 Yah, once again, for opening up the Shabbat door. Abba Yah, we thank you for your meal that you have prepared for us, Father. Father Yah, I ask and pray for the moray tomorrow, a little later on today, that you're well, Father, that you speak to him, Father, and for the main course, Abiyah, Brother Shabbat, Father, that you speak to him, that you, whatever they speak, Father, that it be your will, Father, that they continue to feed us, Father, that they move out the way, Father, and have mighty words come to them, Father, by your spirit, Father. Father, Yah, I ask and pray once again for all those who are ailing, Father, Yah, that we all come together and sound mind and pray for one another, Father, that we be prayer warriors for one another, Father, that we get on the battlefield, Father, and that we be not afraid. In Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Abba Yah.
I know they see you when they want you. I know they see you when they want to make you who they want you to be. I know that life is trying to get you. I know that life is calling out to you by your name. But don't listen, resist it, keep running. Don't you stop for nothing, just keep kicking. Remember where you came from, don't forget what you already know. What you got is amazing, hold it, don't you let it go. You hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's evident. They could see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, yeah. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. Fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. I'll fight, you know I'm ready. Situations will approach you and opportunities to fade, shade and downgrade will provoke you. And those you trust will start to turn to. So never pay too much attention to the things they say they won't do. And you gotta be persistent, and believe me, you ain't seen much. It's just the beginning. More walking, slow to speaking, but be quick to listen. Be mindful, you be vigilant and pay attention. Because you hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's evident. They can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, hey. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. Fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. I'll fight, you know I'm ready.
There's no need to worry about them let me downs. You can count them instinct the moment you let me round. I torched it, scream shouted and forced it to move off that groove and made on the porch of your heart. I knew from the start it was gonna be war. The clowns we fighting for, the thought of you free from danger. Hurt, fear, depression and anger, confusion, rage and pain galore. Got me out here with my tools up, fighting with what I could use up. Lyrics on tracks with music, yeah the pain came and the rain fell down. But I maintained through the skirmish, cause I love you, and you're worth it. Yeah, you could be anything to them, but to me, you're perfect. I fight for you, I'm right for you, I'm here on purpose.
And you know I fight for you, I'll fight for you, I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose ya.
Fight for you.
Fighting cause I refuse to lose ya.
Fight for you.
I'll fight, you know I'm ready, but I'll fight for you.
Your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I fight for you.